Welcome back to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Ross Thorburn, and on today's episode, we're talking about AI with Dave Weller. Dave and I are going to discuss the benefits of AI, what it's good at doing, what it's not so good at doing, how to use AI with students, how to use AI to create materials and lesson plans. Enjoy the episode. Hi Dave, welcome back. To begin with, let's talk about why it's worthwhile for teachers to learn about AI. Why is it something that teachers, even if they're already enjoying their jobs, and let's say that they don't have any problems in teaching, just imagine a person like that exists, why should teachers spend time learning about AI?
Well, that's the thing. If people can actually outsource the more labor intensive, maybe some of the admin, they can outsource those activities and tasks to AI, so they can free up their time to focus on more creative, enjoyable aspects of their job. So if you have a lot of bureaucracy, maybe you need to write reports for your manager, or you need to do a lot of preparing lesson plans, writing things up, a lot of these things you can actually outsource to AI. That's one very obvious example, but there are some other ones, maybe a little bit more intangible, I think. So just by integrating AI and learning about it, you are actually helping to stimulate new ways of thinking. You can help your students learn about AI at the same time that you do. You can experiment together, which again better helps prepare them for the world than the future that's coming. Also, AI can help you be a better teacher in that it can help you personalize more. It can help you with differentiated instruction. It can help you tailor your materials and your strategies to different students' needs and goals. It can help you look at analytics from your course. So from all your student scores across all the different classes that you have, you can plug those into AI and say, who's struggling? And it can help you focus your attention where it's most needed.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that with any technology like this, if it can help you do some parts of your job faster, then that's going to mean you're able to spend more time doing other things which are even more important. All right, so next, tell us about the different kinds of AI that exist.
Sure. Well, good question. There are a whole bunch. I think there are only a handful that might be useful for teachers at the moment. But the two that spring to mind, the first are text generators or text-to-text generators. And so these are AI models that produce kind of natural language text based on input. Usually that's you or a teacher typing in a question or a list or a fact or some kind of input. And then ChatGPT or whichever model you're using will give you an output. Don't imagine that many people listening to this will not have at least heard of ChatGPT or a similar model. So I don't want to explain that in too much detail. But the potential here for teachers is absolutely huge. Everything from brainstorming, lesson planning, lesson aims, creating worksheets, materials, and also assessment. The other one that I think is really interesting is text to image generators. This is where, again, you describe an image that you'd like to see produced, and the AI will create that for you in a flash. For teachers especially, I imagine things like coloring pages could be quite useful, or spot the difference, or especially if you're trying to find a certain image that you simply can't find on the internet. Maybe it's a series of images around prepositions, for example, using a particular animal that the students really like or a character that they are really interested in. So that way it allows a lot more personalization of the images that you use in class.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, Dave, I love making spot the difference activities. And one of the things you can do now with AI that wasn't ever possible before was take a photo and delete things like buildings or roads or bridges and then get AI to recreate the image. So I think it's wonderful that we've got this technology now that genuinely it's not just about doing things quicker and more efficiently. There's now things that you can do that were impossible before, at least with images. Anyway, I also wanted to ask you, that's obviously something that AI is good at doing. What else is AI good at doing? And what are some of the current limitations?
It's very good at generating diverse content, should we say. It can produce original and very varied outputs in many different styles. across different texts and different images. And it can also improve over time, and you can train it to give output in the style that you prefer as well. But in terms of things they're bad at, there's still a lot of that it's not great at. So it doesn't really understand context and nuance very well sometimes. So it can struggle with interpreting meaning, especially around human culture, language, emotions, beliefs, especially with things like sarcasm, irony, any kind of ambiguous wording or language that might have more than one meaning is quite tough. Also, it's not very good if you pair it with students, for example, or ask students to use AI for a task. It can't replace a teacher's natural sort of social and emotional skills. It has very limited capabilities to express some, feelings, to respond to feelings and emotions. And so, yeah, I don't think teachers are in any danger of losing their role.
Yeah, and in addition to that, I think one other thing I found it's not very good at the moment is grading its language, something that I think all teachers learn to do in the first few months of teaching. I find AI finds it pretty difficult to rephrase things in simple language. It's obviously possible, but just not maybe as efficient as you might think it would be. Anyway, let's talk about using AI in the class with students. So, how can teachers get students to interact with AI, and why is that something that's worth doing?
So, starting off by raising awareness of AI in the classroom, looking at boundaries perhaps, and also the limits of AI, like we've just discussed. You can bring AI into classroom activities as well. If you think of AI almost as another student, you could put students in pairs and then use AI as a co-pilot or a guide. So they might brainstorm together, but then they ask AI for any suggestions. They might outline together. The AI might give it suggestions, and the students go, actually, no, we some good ideas, but let's rearrange it into this order because of this reason. Then, after the students produce the output that you've asked them to, they can then copy and paste that into AI to get suggestions for improvement. So the students can iteratively improve their project. So yes, bringing it into the classroom is one point, but then I think if we don't give the students the tools to use AI outside the classroom, we're missing a huge opportunity here. Because outside the classroom, when a student is working with AI one-to-one, there's a huge opportunity for a student to improve all areas of their language, all the four skills, listening, reading, speaking, and writing at home, through personalized interaction with an AI that responds to what they say individually, can correct their individual errors, and also can improve other aspects of language, like the grammar, the vocabulary, and pronunciation as well. So, helping students understand how they can use AI, how to set it up, how to use plugins, and then giving them some prompts that they are then able to input and get the conversation rolling. What that does is it turns AI into a personalized tutor.
Tell us about getting AI to create lesson plans. How can teachers do that? What are some prompts or starting places for that? And do you find that the lesson plans that are produced by AI, are they actually high enough quality to be used or not?
It can be a very mixed bag. There's a classic old saying, garbage in, garbage out, right? So if you do a very simple prompt saying, please write me a lesson plan, I mean, sure, you'll get a lesson plan, but it will be almost unusable for your purposes, I'm sure. So teachers can create lesson plans and materials for their class, sure, but it will take some time and some energy and some thought to actually create a better prompt that gives you the exact output that you're looking for. I find this easier for worksheets and resources because you tend to have a very specific aim in mind. Maybe it's to practice a certain grammar tense or a specific set of vocabulary, which you can easily copy and paste into ChatGPT and ask it specifically to create a gap-fill activity with these words and then put the base form of the verb in brackets at the end of the sentence, right? And then give me an answer key at the end. So very specific, very easy, and the output is exactly what you expect, hopefully. And if it's not, a couple of minor tweaks will get you there. However, for lesson plans, I always think of lesson plans as incredibly complex because they kind of represent everything you know as a teacher that you then want to express and do in the class. So it contains so much thought behind it that I find them much harder to create a good lesson plan with AI. Creating a good prompt is a good start, and to create a good prompt, you'd essentially need to say, look, I'm a teacher, I'm teaching a TEFL or a language learning lesson. I'd like you to help me create a plan. Here are the variables to consider. Maybe the demographics of your student, what's their first language, what level they are, how long the class should be, the grammar that you'd like them, or the vocabulary or the phonology you'd like them to practice in there, the teaching methodology you'd like them to use, and anything else that you think will be relevant. Maybe what their interests or their preferences are as well. They love robots or flying cars. Even then though, the output might not be what you want, but it'll probably get close. It might get 70% of the way there. Maybe you don't like one activity, you can ask it to generate another, or you can simply replace it with one of your preferred activities as well. But I'd say it's enough to brainstorm, give you some good ideas, and definitely worth then copying, pasting that into a document and then editing it yourself. And I'd say even with all that, once you have a template for a prompt, you can probably still write lesson plans in about half the time that it would normally take you, or less.
Do you have any advice then, Dave, for teachers about what happens if they try to create something like a plan or a material and the output they get is not really what they want? What can teachers do next if that happens?
The biggest tip is just experiment. So whatever you get out, if it's too long, if it comes out like 3 pages long, you could ask it to then give it a word limit. If it's not long enough, you could ask it to write a specific word limit. If it comes out in a list form, you could ask it to output in a table format instead. If it's a table that you don't like, you could ask it to output in a table format with certain headers for the columns. And say, for example, you really don't like the activities. They're all very competitive, right? But you have a very rowdy class and you're trying to get them to work together. You could then ask it to work, you know, the activities it uses to be collaborative, where they have to work together to achieve an outcome rather than competing to score points, or maybe vice versa. Maybe it's all individual work, so you then want to maybe work them in small groups or large groups. So again, it's all about tweaking the prompts to fit your personal style. And that leads me on to the fact we are actually able to upload some of your old lesson plans and say, please create a lesson plan in this style, attach it to your previous prompt, and that will give you a much higher likelihood of producing a lesson plan that is perfect for you.
Yeah, I completely agree about the examples. And I find that is true for just about everything with a text-to-text AI like ChatGPT. If you can give it an example, then the output's usually a lot better. So, for example, I tried getting AI to coach me and say, oh, I want you to only ask me questions. And it works for a little while, but after a couple of minutes, it forgets. But far more effective, I find, is saying, I want you to have a conversation with me where you only ask me questions. And then here's an example. I'm pasting in an example of a coach and a coachee conversation. And then the AI seems to be able to do a much better job of copying that. And I'm sure that's true for things like lesson plans as well.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And just to riff on that, I totally agree. I think, right, anything you want to produce, if you can give it an example, the output is usually far higher quality.
And finally, Dave, what is the most important thing that you'd like to say to teachers about AI that we've not touched on yet?
Well, I'd say don't outsource everything to AI. So I can imagine there are some maybe jaded or cynical teachers out there that go, oh, I'm just going to get AI to do all my marking for me now and just input their students' work and ask it to grade it and then pass it off as their own. Like, please don't do that. I think another area, because you're able to do more in less time, I think hopefully it might help work-life balance as well. Also, I think you can really stimulate both teacher creativity and student creativity just by introducing this whole new paradigm, because I mean, education, I think, will have to change because students will be using AI even if teachers aren't. And so we need to be prepared for this. And so by getting ahead of the curve, by understanding it, by using it, you're going to be able to get ahead of the wave or ride the wave of this new technology to hopefully, you know, work harder on the things that you enjoy rather than things that you don't, while also helping your students improve their learner outcomes at the same time.
One more time, that was Dave Weller. For more from Dave, check out his website, barefoottevilteacher.com. Thanks again for listening. See you again next time. Goodbye.